So what do you want to talk about?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Why is it always on me to come up with stuff?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
So that's how this works?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. That's part of my name. The other part is non-existent. That's all I have. Thanks for being with us today. Here are the rules. You shut up. I talk.
Please be quiet.
Please be quiet.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah, kids should be seen and not heard. Oh, come on, you know that's true. Give me a break. Come on, you know it. The only good thing about kids is that they grow older and aren't kids anymore. That's pretty much where that comes from. Hey, I was a kid myself. Not for long, though. Maybe 6 minutes. I was an adult by the time I was 3. I didn't start walking. I started driving. It was weird. It's weird stuff. Seriously, I've always been... I don't remember my childhood too much. I don't think the kids would play with me in the street because I was dressed in a 3-piece suit at the age of 5. They said that was very odd, and I thought, well... the hell, I got the clothes, might as well wear them. And as a result, I was picked last for everything. My nose didn't even want to be picked first. Did you like that joke? No. No. Oh, come on. I went out to lunch yesterday. Every once in a while, I take myself out to lunch. I'm sitting in a chair and I say to myself, Ron, would you like to go to lunch with yourself? And the answer is usually yes, because I'm usually not doing anything because I asked myself. And if I ask myself, I'm not doing anything. So I put on my 3-piece suit and I went by myself, with myself, to a local restaurant. Now, when I go to a restaurant and I'm eating by myself, I don't sit at a table. And it's not that I really care if people look at me and say, oh, there's a person who doesn't know anybody, which is true. But it's by choice. That's the difference. So I don't sit at the table by myself because, you know, you don't want to draw attention to people and stuff like that. And especially, I don't wear pants usually, so it draws attention anyway. So I sit at the bar, which is convenient because I like a beverage every once in a while. And I'm not talking about a soft drink, which is really very bad for you. You know they use Coca-Cola to clean sinks and clean out engines in your car. Why would you put that in your body? Anyway, that's besides the point. So I sit at the bar and the bartender comes over and says hello and makes the small talk thing. It was raining yesterday and the bartender says, whoa, it's really raining out there. And I didn't, you know, how do you answer something like that? It's an observation. There's no conversation to be had from that. So I said, yeah. I couldn't come up with anything else. It's raining outside pretty hard. Yeah. I mean, You are very observant as a person, obviously. That's probably why you're a bartender, because you make these incredible observations like that. I know the bartender was just trying to make small talk, but I don't do small talk. If there's a t-shirt that I can make up that says I don't do small talk, I think it would cut the bullshit, like, for a lot of instances. So I'm sitting there, and I order a little alcoholic beverage, and order some lunch. And I'm waiting for my lunch and sipping on my beverage and that kind of thing. And this woman comes in, and I feel her walking behind me, and I figure she's going to sit at the bar. You know, what the hell? There's nobody else at the bar at that point. This bar has about 20 stools. It's a good-sized bar. 20 stools. I had gotten there rather early, so I was the only person at the bar at that time. This person comes in behind me and sits two stools away from me. There's 20 freaking stools at the bar. She sits. I'm so upset I can't even conjugate the sentence in the verbs. She sits two stools away from me. It's like, what? Can you go like 20 stools away? How about that? And then we'll work our way in toward the center when more people show up. But why would you sit so close to me? So she parks herself there, and apparently she's with somebody else because she pulls out the chair next to her. And okay, there must be someone coming in behind me. I can't turn around. I'm too lazy. But it's not another person. It's a baby. It's a baby in a baby car seat kind of thing. And she puts the baby on the bar stool next to her sitting at the bar. I don't think I have ever in my life, and I've been around for a little while now, and I've been to my share of bars doing the research on my book about bars, and I've never, ever, ever seen a baby sitting at a bar. It's just, I mean, what's the bartender supposed to do? Walk up to the baby and say, a lot of gas today, huh? You got a lot of gas today, huh? What do you say to a baby? So the lady's sitting there, and I figure out she's waiting for somebody. She's just going to wait at the bar till somebody shows up. Now, the bartender comes over and says, hi, how are you? What a cute baby. Fuck you, it's not a cute baby. I have no idea. Every baby's cute, I suppose. And the bartender says, would you like a menu? And she says, yes. And, oh, no, she's going to stay here and eat. So I spent my lunch date with myself sitting next to two stools over a lady with her baby. The infant was probably approximately 8, 9, 10 months old. I really don't know. They should timestamp the damn things because I have no idea how old this thing was. It fit in the little baby carrier. That's all I know. And if the baby fits, wear it. I don't know what the baby ordered. I think it was a corned beef sandwich. I'm not too sure. Or corned beef baby food. I don't know which. What do you feed a baby at a bar? The baby doesn't belong at a bar. For a split second, because I do have some amount of decency to me. Not a lot, but some. At a point, I was going to call the bartender over and say, is this legal in Massachusetts? Can you seat a baby at the bar? Is that allowed? I mean, you're serving alcohol and a baby is sitting at the bar. I don't know. Is that legal? I don't know if that's legal. But I didn't say that, but I am inquiring about it and I plan to shut the place down. No, I don't. Anyway, the baby didn't make a peep through the whole thing, which is one extraordinary baby. I take my pants off to this baby because the baby didn't make a sound. I didn't even know the baby was there, pretty much, other than the fact that I could see it. I think children are wonderful. I think being a child is something that you just have to do in life to get to the next stage. You can't be born and immediately be an adult and be hired for a good job. You have to go through a childhood thing where you have to crawl, walk, spit up, defy your parents, experiment with drugs, throw tantrums, scream at the top of your lungs, ruin people's lives. I think that's part of the process. So I get it, I suppose. But just because things exist doesn't necessarily mean that I have to put up with them or go through them as well. The one thing I agree with Donald Trump about is building a wall, but not to let people out, not to let them in, but just to build a wall from people like you, from my own people. I want to build a wall that keeps Americans away from me, if you know what I mean. Because I found out after this election that not everybody's on my page. And I kind of thought in a delusional sense that everybody was somewhat on my page, because I consider myself to be a human being. Excuse me for getting so bold about that classification. And I thought everybody, at least in this country, was also a civilized human being. Come to find out, that's not the case. Come to find out there's a whole pantload of people that are incredible assholes, and they chose an asshole to be their leader. So all of a sudden, I'm agreeing with building these walls, but not against Mexicans, against a lot of you people, not listeners to this show, quite obviously. I'm talking to the country in general. And that basket of deplorables, no one was lying there. No one was lying. As a matter of fact, Hillary Clinton said half of them were deplorables. I'd up the ante a little bit. I'd say it's more than half. But, you know, whatever. I have no problem with that. I'm not running for president, so what do I care? Well, there's one dream that's down the tubes. I think a lot of kids grew up knowing that someday they could be president and achieve that if they wanted to. And I think the attitude now is, that's the one job I would never want to have. They chew you up. They spit you out. They examine you with a fine-tooth comb. As many people want to kill you as want to love you. It's a thankless job. It's a horrible job. You can't win. You can't lose. You can't do anything. You can't blow your nose. You can't do a damn thing. The worst job in the world, President of the United States. Who would want that job except for people who want ultimate and complete power and legacy? And you chose the king shit one as far as that's concerned this time around. But I promised I would not talk about politics because it's just not right. It just doesn't serve any purpose anymore.
It was unbelievably painful.
I know. I was up all night too. And now I need to live with it. So, that's it. All right, let's move on.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Sounds like somebody needs to learn to make better choices.
Hey, that's not fair. Hey, you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. I do this every single weekday. If it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, there I've named them all. Those are the weekdays. Saturday, Sunday, not so much. And if it's a holiday, I tend not to do this. Could. Just tend not to. Visit me on Facebook. I don't know why. We have a Facebook page for this show. I don't know what it is. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. Go to it, like it, I don't care. Doesn't serve me any purpose whatsoever. It's just that I spent nearly $1,000 to have the thing built for me. And then I said to the web guy, I said, okay, now you built the Facebook page. What do I gain out of this? And he said, boom, nothing really. It's just that you should have one. No, thanks a lot. You can hear us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, New England Broadcasting, Podbean, all kinds of things, different podcast networks. And we're syndicated on radio stations throughout the United States. So there you go. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I really don't know why you would. It's ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you are a guest, maybe you've written a book or you're doing something incredibly important for society, contact me. We'll see if we can get you on the air. Or if you have any suggestions for topics, you may also email me. If you also would like to send me large amounts of cash, that's also emailable. Okay, let's speak to our first guest for today.
Good morning.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Great. Lawrence Bergreen is a celebrated author. He joins us now with Casanova, The World of a Seductive Genius. It is an impressive book. It's a nice, big, thick one, too. I'll tell you that. very, very nice. Hey, Casanova, some people think that that's a fictional character, but indeed this was an actual person.
Yeah, a lot of people think he's like, Zorro or Paul Bunyan, and because he has a reputation as the world's greatest lover, and that's about all we know. However, he really was a real flesh and blood person, and in Europe and around the world is considered a major figure in the 18th century of the Enlightenment. He wrote a lot. He was a literary and mathematical genius, and he had an incredible life filled with all sorts of adventures and kind of like an Alexander Dumas novel. So that was the real Casanova I was trying to write about and reintroduce to readers.
Did you have to travel to get more information about this legend?
Yeah, I did. He was from Venice, so I was in Venice exploring his haunts and seeing places where he lived and wrote. Also Prague, where he spent a lot of time. He was a librarian there at the end of his life when he was down on his luck. So I was in that library and other places that were figured in his life, especially Paris, which was where he was at his peak. In fact, I got really interested in this subject when the French National Library, the Bibliothèque Nationale, acquired his manuscript. I read about it, for 10 million euros, the most they'd ever paid for something. And I thought, well, what's the deal? Why are they so interested? And then I went there to look at it. He wrote it in French, and it was an extraordinary tapestry of his life and his times, his love affairs. It was unexpurgated. It's kind of like a French or Italian version of Tom Jones, but it was all true. So I was also in Paris, and it was fun. I mean, I enjoy doing traveling for research when I'm doing a book. The hard part comes when you sit down to write it.
Yes, of course, that would be the difficult part. And I mean, just to get off the subject matter for a second, your history is taking these historical figures and revealing what they were really like in a way that other people really haven't done.
Yeah, I don't intentionally try to do that, but that seems to be what happens. If I get interested in somebody, I do try and find writings if they have it, but I try to really take a fresh look using modern research approaches, whether it's letters or other books that other people haven't used, or tying them into their times in a way that hasn't been done before. And so they emerge. I don't really think I'm doing anything unusual or radical, but I think at the end it comes out like that. You know, these people are so interesting. They're so multifaceted, whether it's Casanova or Columbus or somebody else who I've written about, that, you know, there's a lot to say. With Casanova, I could have written 2 or 3 volumes about him because, you know, he covered so much. I think my publisher, Simon & Schuster, probably wouldn't have been too happy about that. So it was content with one long volume as it is.
Fascinating stuff. I mean, it's almost anti-history because we grow up reading history books and we learn the hard facts about they did this in this date and then they did this and then they started this, but they never get into the personalities and the reasons for what occurred. Which I guess you can't do in a history book. So that's why the things that you do here are quite fascinating, to get into the psyche of the person, which, again, academically, that isn't done.
Yeah, it's not really done that much. Often there are statistics, and I'm sure there's a whole, level of serious history which is done that way. I think it was Carlyle who said that history is the actions of men, which also women, in pursuit of their aims. Well, I got interested in the actions of men and women in pursuit of their aims, and for me, and he also said the only history is biography. That's how you tell history. That's how you understand history. It's a series of biographies. Some of the greatest historians from ancient Rome and Greece, Tacitus and Herodotus and others, really wrote biographies about their times and wrote about them brilliantly, and that's how we understood them. So, for me, I honestly, if it was just dry history, I would find it boring, and it wouldn't really stick in my mind. But people are people. They're endlessly fascinating. They're fascinating characters, and I never get tired of it.
Well, it's fascinating and dangerous. It's a dangerous world with it, because the more you become that prolific in society, the more power you gain. And when you have power, the more things come to you well and not well. And, I mean, there's tons of questions I have for you, but our time is limited, such as was Casanova, was he really that much into the love and the romance, or was he using people for power? And, I mean, things like this, it's all in the book, and it's fascinating. And I think we can relate that to our modern day society with some public figures.
I think so. In some ways, he's a very, now more than ever, a very modern figure.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's like breaking the ice on Columbus. I mean, we just thought that this was the guy that discovered America, if you believe that. And then we find out behind the curtain what kind of person this actually was. And now everybody knows that. So it's interesting stuff. It's Casanova, The World of a Seductive Genius. Lawrence Berggren is the author, and who the hell knows what he's going to do next. It's a pleasure speaking to you. It's available everywhere. Do you have a website where people can follow?
I do. It's lawrencebergreen.com, with Lawrence with a U. And the Casanova book has just been published by Simon & Schuster, so Perfect. It should be available pretty much everywhere.
Great. Hey, great speaking to you today.
You too.
You take care.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple-filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques. Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Hey, Dana. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. This is Dana Holmes. She's a lifestyle expert, and we're talking about the holiday season. What could be more fitting as far as that goes? You're a busy mom as well, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No need to elaborate on that. Okay. All right. I get that. All right. So the holidays are coming up. we're all busy because that's what we do when there's holidays coming up. And then you try to plan for them, but how do you put the time together for this?
Well, you know, I'm so lucky that I get to team up with great companies who help me share my tips on just this very subject, because moms are so busy during the holidays, and, you know, I'm just really happy to be able to share some tips with you.
Okay. Now, this is in regards to holiday parties and getting ready for the holidays, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Moms need some tools to get through the holidays. You know, their lives are already super busy, and so they need some things to help them stay on top of stuff while they get through.
Okay, let's see. What's your first tip?
All right. So, in documenting the holidays, you know, everybody wants those beautiful pictures. Most moms' Instagram feeds are their lifeline to the rest of their families spread out around the country, and that's why I really love the Motorola Moto Z phone and Moto Mods, because you don't need a separate camera. I'm going to explain why in just a second. But the Moto Z phone is a stunning metal design phone that's the world's thinnest premium smartphone. And if you're out all day shopping and entertaining, the battery lasts all day long. And if you do need a boost, they have a turbo power charger that will give you half your battery life back in 15 minutes. Oh. So it's great for being on the go, or if you're like me and forget to plug your phone in at night, it lasts all night long.
Now, I've seen the commercials for this, and there's all kinds of attachments that you can put on the phone.
Exactly, right. So I also love that you can transform the Moto Z with the Moto Mods. That's what they're called, Moto Mods. Uh-huh. And they make it possible to capture crystal clear images from a distance or in low light with this amazing Hasselblad camera. It's called a True Zoom that you snap right on there, and you can take beautiful pictures, and you can upload them right away and share them right away, and you don't need that extra camera taking up space in your bag, which as a mom, that's always something that's on my mind. And the other mods that you can get are the InstaShare projector, which turns your phone into a projector that can project onto up to a 70-inch screen on any flat surface, so you can share your images, your videos with family and friends, and you can also watch movies and TV with your family while you're traveling, and it's a really great attachment that you'll use more than you would ever imagine. Right. It's so useful. And also, the other one that I really love that they have for Moto Mods is the JBL Sound Boost attachment.
Whoa.
It comes with 10 hours of battery life in it, so it doesn't sap your phone's battery, and you can start a party anywhere, so it's great.
Wow.
It has a little kickstand, and it has amazing sound boosting capabilities, so it's a really great attachment to have on hand.
So someday you'll be able to attach a blender to it and make smoothies and stuff.
I can't wait for that. You know, then you don't have to worry about eating
it. And they actually don't catch fire on airplanes, so this is
exactly. I know. They also have a power pack that you can buy for it that will give you 22 hours of battery life in addition.
Yeah.
So that's awesome for long hauls and long trips. And like I was saying earlier, if you know you forget to plug in your phone like I do. And they also have style shells that you can put on that really add extra style to this already super stylish phone.
Very, very cool.
To make it look like wood or leather and other cool textures. And they make great stocking stuffers for just $19.99. The phone starts at $6.24. You can get it at Verizon, or you can learn more about all of it at Motorola.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually less than I paid for my phone. So I am ready to switch.
All right, what else do you have in your bag of mommy tricks?
Sure. So for the busy moms are, well, everybody is going to be doing some shopping probably this holiday season, but no one should start their shopping until they've downloaded the Shopkick app. Now, Shopkick is a free app for iOS and Android systems, and what it does is it gives you access to trends, to deals, and to shops that are nearby, and you also earn rewards while you're using it, so you get something for you, too, which is a win-win, right? But you can triple-dip your rewards by perusing videos and doing product research on their app. You get kicks for that, which are their rewards points, and then you get more kicks for just walking into stores and scanning items off the shelf.
Mm.
Then you also get more rewards for using your credit card that you have hooked up to the app. And what those rewards, with those kicks, you trade them in for gift cards for your favorite stores and services. And, you know, a little tip on my side is that those gift cards that you get also make great stocking stuffers. So you can save yourself even more money by getting gifts for free just for using this app. So I highly recommend downloading Shopkick as your BFF for your holiday shopping.
Wow. These ideas are so exciting, I think I need to change my underwear.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because for moms on the go, there's nothing more important than staying comfy and cool while you're running around. I mean, you're already busy with your life, and then the holidays come along, and you want it to be as sentimental or maybe even more sentimental than it is stressful, and that's a hard balance to strike sometimes. But one of my secrets for the holidays is actually Fruit of the Loom. Fruit of the Loom has been keeping families comfy for generations, but they have this new breathable underwear that is designed with micro mesh so that it promotes airflow, and it has double needle stitching, which keeps them in place all day long, all night, through the cocktail parties, through the shopping sprees. And they're only $9.99 for a 4-pack, and they come in pretty colors and a cut for every type of person. There are briefs, bikinis, hipsters, boy shorts. So they make great stocking stuffers for your sisters, your besties, and yourself. You can find your favorite style for you at fruit.com.
So these are actually pants stuffers. in a way. Okay.
In a way. Yeah, they're so comfortable, though. It's amazing. I mean, every mom knows that, you know, being comfortable is key to keeping your cool during the stressful holiday season.
Now, do they make it for men as well?
You know, they do, actually. Yes, they do. They have it for everybody. So you should check out fruit.com to find styles for everybody on your list.
Yeah, because moms and wives and girlfriends, they have to buy these things for the men because they don't buy them themselves. So this is a perfect gift.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's a great deal. You can't buy underwear for everybody, but when you can, this is a great option to give them. It's worth trying for sure.
Wonderful. Well, we've gone from underwear to mobile phones. I mean, I don't know, and Shopkick. You've run the gamut here today.
I'm trying to help moms stay comfy and survive the holidays with a spring in their step.
Cool. Dana, how do we get more information about these products?
You can visit my blog, metromomclub.com, and there's more info on all these and links to purchase, and you can learn more.
Cool. And you know, these days, you don't just have to be a mom to do this stuff, because everybody's in the same boat, or they should be.
Yep, that's true. Gifting is more important than ever. Show everybody you love them this holiday
season.
There
you have it. Hey, have a great holiday yourself, Dana.
Thank you. Take care. Happy holidays.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, okay. That's interesting. That's interesting stuff. All right, kids. Have you seen a new Subway commercial? Back in, I think it was 2007, Subway, I'm not talking about the train system, I'm talking about the sub shop places, which I believe are franchised. I'm not sure. I think they are. I don't know what I'm talking about. They had a commercial back in 2007 for this pastrami sandwich, which is called a Reuben, by the way, to a great extent. If you add sauerkraut, I think it's called a Reuben. If you don't put sauerkraut in it, then it's a pastrami sandwich. Here's the problem here. This commercial from 2007 introduced the Subway pastrami sandwich. And now today, they're introducing something brand new and innovative, the pastrami sandwich. Excuse me, Subway, but almost 10 years ago, you did the same damn thing. I guess Subway assumes that we have no memory, or that most of us are on Lipitor or smoking pot, because we wouldn't remember that they had a pastrami. Apparently, the pastrami sandwich didn't work too well then, and they're hoping it's going to work better now. And what better time around Thanksgiving than to introduce a pastrami sandwich? I don't understand the marketing team. Anyway, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I have a little Jew in me. I don't know how to put that tastefully. I'm a little bit Jewish, a little bit rock and roll. I don't practice it, but apparently it's in my blood somewhere through some type of a nasty, horrible transfusion that occurred. It's not that I'm proud or not proud. It just is that I am. But even I know that you don't put a pastrami sandwich on a sub roll. You just don't do that. It goes on rye bread. As soon as you take pastrami, add some mustard and maybe a little sauerkraut, you are in rye bread territory, and anything other than that is considered to be sacrilegious. It really isn't right. But Subway somehow is trying to entice me by putting it on one of their freaking rolls or subs, whatever you call those damn things. Those 6-inch, 1-inch, I don't know. Ask Anthony Weiner. He knows the difference. Or doesn't. I don't know which. I'm a little shocked at the Subway people for ethnically screwing up the pastrami sandwich. There's something else that I've noticed, and I love the people at Subway, by the way. They're franchises, I do believe, so I can't really say anything about one store that's different from another store that I don't know because I don't know all the stores. I have gone into Subway every once in a while in a drunken stupor. I don't know why. Well, I know why I was in a drunken stupor, but I don't know why I went into Subway. And here's what I've noticed recently, and tell me if this is true or not. And I'm not making claims, and I'm not complaining. Lord knows I never complain about anything. But is it just me, or are they not putting like a lot of meat on this thing anymore? In the television commercials, when they show the sub, there is such a high pile of meat on any one of their sandwiches. Such a high pile of meat, you can hardly close the top of the sub, you know? It's just, it's so much meat on it and so much stuff, you can't even close that thing. Your mouth isn't big enough to eat this gigantically piled high meat thing. Somehow, when I go into a Subway and I ask for a Subway thing, they haven't watched the commercial, apparently, because I'm getting like about maybe 5 little slices of meat, and I'm talking about tiny slices. If you had a microscope and you opened up the sub, you'd be hard-pressed to even find the meat. And I think that's why they offer all the vegetables on it, the lettuce and the pickles and all the dressings and the tomatoes. I think they offer all of that because they know they're not going to put much meat on it, so let's hide it. Let's make them eat something, but it ain't going to be our meat. They've gotten very skimpy on the amount of meat that they, and I use the term meat in a very loose way. I don't know if that's meat. I don't know what that stuff is. It's pressed something. I don't know what it is. I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure what that stuff really is at all. But there isn't much of it. And I actually said to one of the Subway teenagers, by the way, Subway seem to always be manned by and womaned by teenagers. I think at the job interview, they sit down, they say, do you have some type of horrible, out-of-control skin condition? And if the teenager says no, then they don't get hired. I think that's part of it. They're very polite, they're fine, but they just, it's like they go from the womb to behind the counter directly. There's no in between. So I said to one of the nice Subway ladies, I guess is what you call them, I said, why so little meat on the Subways, on these subs? And she said, well, the meat is already portioned out in little portions. And it's true, if you look inside the little cases that they have, and I hope they're refrigerated enough, because the lid's always open on their end. I don't know how cold this stuff can really be kept under the circumstances, especially when your slogan is eat fresh. I mean, if you're going to choose a slogan, you better pretty much follow it. I think eat fresh just means we opened up a brand new bag of lettuce when we ran out. I think that's all that means. Or eat fresh means we change the meat every morning. before we let it sit out on the counter for 13, 14 hours. I don't know how fresh that is. I don't know. But I said to her, I said, why? And she said, because it's portioned, it's pre-portioned out. I thought, oh, that's, you know, that's just cheap. That's just cheap. And then I watched her, and people are ordering little turkey subs, and they go into the little turkey tray, and they don't grab a handful of turkey or anything like that. They just, it's all portioned out with wax paper between each portion. It's just like, oh, this is just a little weird for me. This is a little weird because there ain't too much meat you're putting on the sub. Now, look, I don't want to get too much into this because it sounds like I'm just sitting here complaining about sub sandwiches. But the alternative is to talk politics, and I really can't do that because my blood pressure will not allow me to do things like that anymore, although every once in a while I may. So for now, I'm afraid that targets like how they make subs and the fact that the pastrami is not on rye would kind of be the most tumultuous part of my life at this particular moment. And I hope that doesn't bother you to any great extent, because that's pretty much the way it is. All right, I'm going to complain about one more thing, if you don't mind. I'm sure you do. There's a supermarket chain around here called Market Basket, and it's owned by a family, and they're very popular. They have stores throughout New England, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, I don't know where else, the Virgin Islands, I don't know. Their slogan is, well, it's not a slogan, but they do their little commercials, and they send out the flyers, and then at the end of it, they say, from your friends at Market Basket. And I don't know anybody at Market Basket. When I walk into the store to buy some mayonnaise or some pickles or maybe a gallon of ice cream, I don't know anybody in that store at all. And yet they claim to be my friends. And I know it's being a little picayune, but I don't really want, don't tell me that you're my friends. From your friends at Market Basket, you're not my friends. You're not even acquaintances. I don't know who the hell you are. All I want to do is pick up a jar of mayonnaise. Now I have to have some type of close patterned relationship with you? At least introduce yourself. When I walk into a Market Basket store, the employees should come up to me and say, "Hi, I'm Bob. Hi, Bob. I'm your friend at Market Basket." All right, you're still kind of not my friend, but at least you introduced yourself. We're being marketed, ladies and gentlemen. We fall prey to marketing. And the largest marketing that happens in this country is not from supermarkets and not from sub shops. It's from politics. We are used as numbers, not people. And I guess that was what so many people were pissed off about at the last presidential election. And that part of it is true. We are not people to them. We are figures. We are facts. We are data. We are grouped. And I think it's time that people in this country stop being grouped. Except the deplorables. You can remain to be grouped.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Sounds like somebody needs to learn to make better choices.
I am wrapped up like a douche, another odor in the night. If you don't wrap up your douche, that odor is really overpowering. Do you ever smell a douche? All right, that's enough. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Oh, what? Okay. Until then, I wish you peace.